Audio Now.
Hello Holly, the podcast about interior trends and friends.
Hello, I'm so happy to have a really lovely woman in front of me today. She is the creative director and co-founder of Rice in Denmark. Her name is Charlotte Hedeman Genu. She's an amazing person in that she does it all. She is not just a creative director. She's a Wonder Woman to me. I've known her for 8 years. She's the author of several books, including Happy Cooking, Happy Home, Happy Home Outside. Her brand is international. Rice is a company that is making beautiful, positive things for people's homes. Her brand to me is just nothing but happiness and good vibes. And so I'm so glad to have you with me today, Charlotte. It's a privilege and an honor to have you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll re-listen to those words on a gray day.
Oh, thanks. Good. Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah. Well, it's absolutely how I feel. You have always been to me a person that I run into at fair or traveling around, and I bump into you and I can see you a mile away from behind because you're always the brightest and the happiest in the crowd, and you always have on something pink or leopard or spots or something, and you stand out. In more ways than one, you stand out as a person. You have a lot of good energy, and I love you. So that's why I wanted to have you here today. I think that one thing I'd love to ask you is, what are you excited about before we get into your bio and all the interesting things that you do? What are you excited about right now?
I'm excited about a lot of things. It doesn't take a lot to get me going, actually. So it can be coming here today, or it can also be knowing actually that there will soon be a holiday ahead, which I look very much forward to.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about a lot of things going on within our company. Even if we've been going now for 21 years, we've been working recently on how to, taking Rice to the next level, a new strategy, working differently with the market. And I think we have a lot of interesting things coming up in the next year.
Yeah, well, I definitely would love to know more about that today. Maybe you can tell our audience about your background. Why did you start Rice, and when, and what exactly is Rice?
In fact, I've been living in Paris, France for many years. Mm-hmm. I met my husband when I was really young, just 18. Mm. And so more or less back and forth for 15 years, I lived in Paris.
Wow, I'm so sorry to hear that. What a terrible place to live.
Well, it was tough at first. It was not just a one big happy joyride. Yeah. But anyway, the last 5 years I worked for a Danish clothing company, and I traveled, built up their subsidiary in France. And I traveled a lot, and my husband also traveled a lot. He was working abroad, away in all the old former French colonies, 2 weeks abroad, 2 weeks at home. And we just decided, okay, no, this is not working anymore. And I felt pregnant. And we thought, okay, now it's the time to make a change of lifestyle. So we used that as a motive to change. And I had this thought that I did not want to have, sorry if there are any French people listening, but I did not want to have my kids going to school in France.
Right, right.
So that was, even if he was just born, it was a bit stupid actually to move then. But I somehow knew that if we didn't do it, then you get stuck in the system.
Oh,
and my husband has always loved Denmark. And so we had a summer house at the time in a small island. And when my son was 3 weeks old, we drove to Denmark and we lived in our summer house for the first 7 months.
Wow.
And then we started Rice, basically, already. It was,
Wow. Yeah. And what made you start Rice, an interiors-focused brand?
It was actually, I had an old school friend who lived in Thailand.
Okay.
And I had helped him out a few years before. And so I thought, okay, instead of him, anyway, it's a longer story. We decided, let's start and do some of his products.
Okay.
Because he and I had already always talked about, oh, let's do something together.
Right, right, right.
So it was actually, my husband, he wanted to have a plan to go home with. I'm more like happy-go-lucky, let's go home, we'll work it out.
Yeah, you're more chill. Yeah.
But he was right, though, because we're two people now. We're certainly three people. We're a family, so we need to have some kind of a base happening. So we moved to Denmark and we thought, okay, it's not really enough, these things from Thailand. We need more to add to it, to have a collection, to have something that was coherent. And so when Max, my son, was four months old, we went to Madagascar. because Philippe, my husband, had been traveling there for work. And he never used to bring back anything because it was like, in the end, you drown in souvenirs or custom
gifts.
So he'd bought a tablecloth, not knowing that I had bought a similar tablecloth. So I'm so sorry. All my answers won't be this long. Just this one.
No, it's great. That's why you're here. We want to get to know you. Yeah.
So I had bought this beautiful tablecloth some months back, and he brought one back, and I thought, they know how to do beautiful embroidery.
Like the handiwork. Yeah.
And so when he was 4 months, we went to Madagascar looking for embroidered things. And then we found raffia and baskets. And so that was actually how it started. And then we thought, okay, then we have something. We had some baskets made and some bags and still with embroidery, but very quickly the baskets took over.
Right. Yeah. And that was a period when that was so popular too, it was in decor.
Exactly.
It still is actually. Now
I think it's even get a big comeback because it's a natural, beautiful material.
Yeah. When I was in Paris a few weeks ago, I saw more and more baskets again and more and more of this work that looks, handmade, and it seems to be on trend again. So
that would be great. Yeah. Also respect for handwork.
Right.
I think that's important. And for people being treated right, the ones who do it.
Yeah. The fairness is very important. Yeah, so that's an interesting way. So you really just threw it all to the wind, so to speak, and you relocated back home. Philip relocated to a totally new culture.
To him, it was an adventure. To me, it was like, what
being home again.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. And you put your kids into your children. Both children were then born in Denmark?
No, Max was born in Paris, and then we moved after.
Okay, good. Mm. So, yeah, that's probably a good time to ask you this question, because I was wondering this on the train ride here, is what are the similarities between French and Danish culture? Is there anything similar that
there's differences.
Remarks on?
Big or small enough for them to be interesting. They're not like, there are some cultural things where you just think, oh my God.
Right, with both, right?
Yeah. Yeah, what is this? Why is it? Things can be complicated in France always.
Yeah.
They even say it, they say it themselves.
Right, yeah.
You know, why make it simple when you can make it complicated? So.
Yeah, exactly. But what about like similarities? Like, is there something that the Danes do that's also that people in France do? Maybe it's the love for entertaining. Because it seems like French like to...
They do have an easy... But I don't know if the Danes really do that.
Okay.
I mean, they do entertain, but they're not always easy about it.
Okay.
I try to make it easy and more relaxed.
Yeah, I'm used to your style of Danish entertaining.
I think it's difficult to say what are the similarities, but I think there are loads and there are sufficient differences to make it interesting.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Yeah, I often wondered what Philip thought when he first landed in Denmark and tried to make a life there. It must have been like very different for him.
For sure, Danish humor is different.
Okay.
And it takes some time. And like French humor is something where you need to... And of course, it's about speaking a language. You must know that from here as well.
Yeah, yeah.
By the time you understand what's been going on and you want to say something funny, everyone's moved on to
that's
the next
right.
thing.
That's right. Yeah, because you're thinking in your head, what can I say to be part of this conversation? And then it bombs. Yeah. Okay, good. So when it comes to, you know, your world, because I know a lot about you and your world, and it's everything. I mean, there's nothing that you do small. Everything you do is go big or go home. You're into the world of interiors, you're into food, you're into decor, you're even into nutrition and health and all of these different things. What do you love about this world of design and creativity? Like, what really fires you up about all of this? What gets you out of bed every day?
What I like, because you could say it's quite a superficial kind of world, but to me, my headline is what we do with rice is that we bring joy and we bring everyday magic.
Yes.
And that's what I really like. That's my bigger purpose. It's to be that little spot of color, to be that little zest of something, and you open your dishwasher and the cup says, are you looking at my bottom or whatever,
something like that.
So for me, it's fun and function and color that gets me going. And when I see, for example, in our stock, when they pack big boxes full of these our things, I'm like, this will make someone happy.
Right, when
I
they
like
open
that.
The box and they're just bombarded with color and pattern. And how can you not smile? So that makes me think about emotional health and overall well-being. How do you think color, let's get into this a bit because I love this topic. Mm. How do you think color affects emotional health and well-being?
I really believe in it, that there is a big scientific... For me, it's very intuitive which colors I like and how I put them together. I'm not... scientist, but we did a collaboration with some scientists from a university in Denmark.
Oh.
And they've been studying on what does color do? What does it do to you if you're ill and you eat from a white plate or a red plate? Or very interesting. And then there's some Swiss prisons where they have these pink cells, they call it. Oh, I forget the name of the color. I can give you the code of the color. It's a special pink color that they put, and they test it. They put violent prisoners in there, and they do their blood pressure, and they test, you know, and after 20 minutes, the blood pressure goes down.
So
that's why I've made a pink room in my house.
Because you're a little gangster, so you have to have your pink room to go in and, like, calm down, right?
No, I just found it so interesting that a color can do that to you.
It's funny to think about pink. And also, I know I've seen that room. You have the treadmill in there and all your stuff for boxing and all that. And it's interesting, too, when you think about in design school, people are always taught the psychology of color. And then we leave design school and we go out into the world, and then sometimes we just forget that. And we just think of putting colors together that work, you know, aesthetically.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, the best designers, I think, are the ones that are thinking about the more holistic approach and thinking about what is this room really doing to me emotionally? Should I paint the dining room red when we're always fighting in here? Or maybe I should paint it a different color, right? So what's your favorite color?
It really changes. I mean, I would say there's always some shade of pink. Sometimes I like the soft or bright.
Yeah.
I love mint greens.
Mint, yeah.
I'm not picky when it comes to colors. Okay. There's just some color. It's easier for me to say what I don't like.
I understand. It's, you and I are very different in this, as you love red, and red makes me feel stressed. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And red makes you feel what? How do you feel when you see red?
I mean, like red lipstick, I think it's amazing. We have this thing that we believe in red lipstick.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So I'm glad I wore mine today
exactly.
for you. Yeah. Okay, good. So let's talk a little bit about you again and because one thing that I really have cherished about you over the years and that I know about you as a person is that you have a very open heart. You have an open mind. You're not a person that's judgmental, which is very refreshing, especially in this industry, because I think in the design industry, a lot of people feel like this is how it should be done and all the others aren't doing it this way, then, they don't have style. You know, I have the style. And you've never been that type of person. You're always very open to other styles and other opinions, but you also have your own. When it comes to travel, let's talk about that along these lines. When it comes to travel, how do you think travel and all of the people that you've met, all of the things that you've designed, how do you think that's impacted your style as a person, whether it's what you wear or what's in your home or the products that Rice is producing?
I think it definitely impacts you. Of course it does. Whatever you surround yourself with impacts you. So of course when I travel, I do see a lot or I see new color combinations or I see a way of living or styling and whatever. So, of course, it does. Without knowing it, it does.
Yeah, it just goes into the brain.
It goes in, yeah.
Okay, so it definitely is. Is there any particular country that you visited where you felt instantly inspired the minute you got off the plane and you just started maybe day one?
But I think as I said before, I'm easily inspired. So it can also be inspired to not be inspired by a place
or
whatever. I find, I don't think there are many places where I didn't. There are some countries where maybe I don't feel welcome as a woman, which is, that's more hard for me.
Yeah, right, right.
But other than that, no, I love traveling.
And have you been to India?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Well, India is a hard one.
Yeah.
Because first time before going, I was so much looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. And I always heard about the pink city.
The color,
the beautiful colors of Rajasthan and the women and whatever. But it is beautiful if you don't look from the waist down or from the knee down.
Right.
So for me, it's a bit hard. If you get, when you travel in third world countries, and if you're a soft, empathic person, it can be very tough.
Yeah, because you see a lot of the other side, the
you
darker side, the poverty.
Such dark sides. And you see people living in such poor conditions. And for me, it's hard not to take it in.
Right. Do you have a favorite place to travel? Like one spot where you like to go where you just
happy in Italy.
Regenerate? Italy.
Italy always gets me
I've seen
happy.
You in Italy a few times and you always look very happy. We've had wine in Italy a few times.
I always say I have this little tiny cute Italian living inside me. Or two or three, maybe. There's room for three.
So you have an Italian inside of you, huh?
I definitely think I do.
Yeah. Mm. And do you find inspiration there for any of your products? Has anything in Italy inspired your products?
I'm sure, yes.
I bet, huh?
I'm sure, yeah. I mean, Italy for me is also a lot about food. And I love to do things for the kitchen.
Yeah.
So everything in Italy is also about sharing. Sharing good moments, sharing food and with friends and family. And that's definitely a big inspiration for me.
Yeah, and I think Italians really do that well, the fest and the welcoming and making you feel like you're part of the family.
Yeah. And old together.
Right, all ages. Mm. And we always think about the quintessential Italian-style dinner where everyone just sits down in a big table and just eats all night and laughs. And I think we need more of that, don't you?
Definitely.
Yeah, more of that, like no frills.
No,
relax.
Just be together and enjoy some nice, colorful food.
Yeah,
homemade.
And when it comes to your products, I think one thing that you mentioned to me earlier that I didn't realize is I know that your daughter, Selma, who's 19, is already working with rice, doing some pattern design. But now she's doing more. Can you tell us about Curry, this brand?
Yeah, she's starting her own brand called Curry. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful handmade bags that are more high-end.
Okay.
Because of the labor-intensive work and very, very intricate crochet work with nice prints inside that she has designed. So it'll be a small collection that she's launching now this spring.
Okay, and will that be powered by rice or is this her own label?
It will be powered by rice to start with and then we'll see. So it will be... can be with some of our customers, but it'll fit in fashion shops.
Yeah, and she
as well.
Loves fashion because I follow her Instagram and I always notice she's very well dressed and she seems to love it. She does some modeling too. So she's perfect for that.
Yeah. I think it'll be fun.
Now, when it comes to your style, because I know the audience knows a lot about rice, they know about what you do. Now let's talk a little bit about personally how you decorate. Because a lot of people are interested in how do I make my home look like Charlotte's or how do I make my home have more color if I don't normally use a lot of color. So you're playful, you have an open mind, we know all that. But one thing I tell people, and excuse my French, is your style is what I call fuck it, I just love it. That's you. You're like that in many things in life, but especially decorating. You don't care. You want to do it, you do it. And I think that's great because in Denmark, when I see or I think of quintessential Danish style, it's different than your style, right?
Yeah.
Which proves to me that you really do go your own way. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about how can someone bring personality to their home if they're scared to do it?
Well, it's easy to say, just do it. Just try it. Just, I mean, of course you have to do what you like. And that's what I fear most people. A lot of people, they just decorate in a style that they think it's vanilla, what I would call it.
Yeah.
You know, everyone likes vanilla.
Yeah.
So it doesn't hurt anyone and it's fine and it looks good. But if you want to just try to paint one wall in your favorite color, what's your favorite color? Paint one wall, see what it does to you. And then if you don't like it, paint it white again. It doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. A bucket of paint costs the same as a nice bottle of wine.
Yeah.
So if that's what I mean. Just go for it. Just try it out.
Yeah, and then when it comes to pattern, because you have wallpaper now, and who's manufacturing the wallpaper again?
It's a Dutch company called Eifinger that we've been...
Eifinger. And your
licensee
home's beautiful.
Deal we have with them, and it's they make beautiful wallpapers, and that's like a magic wand. So if first you can start with a color, or then you can go crazy and do a little wallpaper.
Yeah, and you recently redid your kitchen, right? Because you used to have florals, and now what does it look like?
Now it's like a powdery pink and then an almond pistachio green on one side.
Oh, cool. And did you paint your ceiling or did you
paint
the wallpaper?
I painted my ceiling and I painted the door, I painted the everything in this powdery pink.
I think you share a similar idea that I do, is that you view the ceiling as the fifth wall.
Yeah.
And you like to treat it as another wall. You don't just keep it white. Do you recommend that for people to try painting the ceiling or wallpapering the ceiling? Do you think that's something people should try?
I think if you live in a low-ceilinged house, and maybe it's a bit risky. Again, I think you just have to try some stuff out.
Yeah.
Don't be so scared. Just say fuck it and do it. I think that's it.
Great. Good. That's good. So is there anything else that you would like to talk to us about today when it comes to personal style? Are there any tips in regards to this? Because I know Danish style and your Danish has evolved a lot over the past even 5 years. Mm. How do you see Danish design today in 2019 versus where it was 10 years ago? Is there any differences to you?
I think there is a little bit more color coming in.
Yeah, I think so too.
Which I'm happy about,
of course. Do you think you've impacted that?
No, I don't think so.
I think people just got tired of neutrals.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I think we need to move on.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about Riceteria too, which is your brand that you've had for 5 years. And basically, it's a concept restaurant with blending your products with food.
Yes.
And where are these? Where can people find Riceteria? And what exactly made you start this?
What made me start it was that it's like being in my home. You know, it's this showing what we can do with our products, how food looks so nice on our plates, and how to make the whole experience, the whole brand come to life. That was the idea. And of course, I love cooking, I love food, and it sort of fit together.
Yeah.
Right now we have, I think, 9 a little bit spread around in the world. We're opening one in Milan in December.
Really?
Yeah, really nice.
So it'll be there for Design Week next week, next year.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah, really nice one.
Where in Milan?
I don't remember the name of the street. It's a side street to one of the major streets.
Okay, I'll give you this. So it's in the central then?
Yes, it's in the center.
Great.
And we have a very nice one in Stuttgart.
Yes,
in Germany.
I've been there,
Then we have, right now I'm sort of kind of, we have one in Istanbul.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we have one in Uden in Holland and one in Gießen near Frankfurt. So we have 2 in Germany.
I can't believe you're growing so quickly now in Istanbul and Milan and wow.
We want to try and take over the world with this. That's the plan.
Domination.
Yes. World domination.
Yes, of course. Good. And what do you love about having a restaurant? Why do you like this so much?
I love what food does to you and the fact that you have, when you combine the two, it means people can come to your shop 3 times a day. It's not embarrassing. If you have just a shop, it's a little bit strange to come in the morning, in the afternoon, and for lunch and bring your friend. And even if you're always with people will say you're welcome, you just yourself feel a bit strange.
Right.
But if you have food and a cafe, you can come in the morning for a coffee. You can come at lunchtime with your friend, in the afternoon with your kids. Or there's so many excuses to keep coming back. So, and it's so nice to see how people have fun or enjoy themselves. And we get so many compliments every time. It's like, oh, coming in here makes me feel so happy and welcome. And I like to be that inspiration to people.
Yeah, making people feel good. And so you're giving them a plug-in point where they can go.
Of course, also to sell our product, of course.
It's a business. Mm. But you're also making, I notice when I go to Riceteria's, I've been to the one in Odense, I've been to the 2 that you have in Germany. Mm. Your focus seems to be on nutrition and providing nourishing meals and healthy food. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I do believe in honest, that's what I love myself, honest homemade food. Mm-hmm. And also, it's like with products, if it can look good and taste good and make you feel good at the same time.
Why not?
I think it's, why not, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. good. Well, it's been such a pleasure to talk to you. So now I want to know a little bit about what makes your house a home. Why is your home so special to you?
I think what makes a house a home is that you make yourself feel welcome there and that you make people feel welcome. To me, that's the big difference. I mean, I've been to see some people in the most beautiful places and homes that I felt so unwelcome because maybe I was making my foot dirty or whatever. The cushions are so nice that you don't dare to lean back. That's not a home for me. That's a house.
Right.
But a home is somewhere I've been seeing this woman in Madagascar that used to work for one of our suppliers. I've never felt so welcome.
Mm. Yeah, because she's giving you a good feeling.
So house proud and just a good feeling, even if she lived in a very, very tiny shack.
Mm. Yeah, I find that as well. It's so important when you go to someone's house and you instantly, like when I go see my friends downstairs, they're Danish as well. the minute I walk in, I don't even have my shoes off and they're already offering me something to drink. Mm. They're already offering me something to eat. And that's the same at your house. And I think even just a tip like that, like maybe you could give the audience a tip. How do you make people feel welcome? You, Charlotta, how do you make your guests feel welcome? Because a lot of people don't really know how. They weren't taught like that or they don't understand it.
But I think the first question is, how do you make yourself feel welcome? Mm. So when you open your door, how do you welcome yourself at home? Do you stumble over 20 pairs of shoes? Or do you look at a nice basket where you can put your shoes in? And, you know, I think it's about also, if everything has to be perfect, then nobody feels welcome. Just be yourself and be present.
And be part of your story, your home.
And I really think it's important that you think about how do I feel welcome when I open my door, when I sit in my living room, I'm in my kitchen. If I'm annoyed with what I see or if it's too messy or whatever, change it so you feel good.
Yeah.
Then people will automatically also feel good.
Okay, so when people come to my house, red wine, chocolate, Netflix.
Yes.
That's how I can make people feel
welcome.
Well,
they probably would enjoy it.
They probably would, because it drops those barriers, right?
I'm sure.
And, or order sushi.
Yeah,
that makes me happy.
Yeah.
So those are easy tips to apply, right? Mm. And it doesn't mean that you have to prepare a big meal and you have to spend 200 euros. And sometimes it's just about giving someone an invitation and then they come by and then you just do something simple, right?
Keep it simple.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you. And for everyone listening, we have a journalist that will be interviewing Charlotta today. And she's doing a big story on Charlotta in issue 3 of Holly Magazine, which will be out on the 15th of January. She'll build out more about Charlotta and her world so you can learn a lot more about this lovely lady. So thank you all for joining us today. Thank you, especially Charlotta, for coming from Denmark.
And
it's been a pleasure. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more about what drives creatives behind the things we love, follow my podcast. There'll be a new podcast every 2 weeks. Please like the podcast in the Apple Podcast app so more people will find this. And I'd love if you'd share it on Instagram at Holly Magazine. I'd really appreciate it. I'd also love your feedback. Please email me at holly@holly-magazine.de. And you can write to me in English or German. I'm really excited to see what you have to say. And also, if you'd love to be a guest, email me as well. Thank you for listening again and have a nice day. Audio Now.